This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio, and we want to make sure that you are comfortable in your own skin. No coronavirus for you. You know, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. By the way, when you get the virus, because I've had it before, it's kind of interesting because you feel really uncomfortable within your own skin. I think that's a coronavirus symptom, by the way. It's just, if you get it, you might have that experience. It's kind of weird. Anyway, so welcome aboard. Like I said, a lot of things going on that are really, I think, very much in need of being discussed. That's why you're here listening to this radio show. And we're supposed to have a guest with us right now, but we seem to be getting a little bit of a hitch in the giddy-up. We're going to try and make sure that gets cleared up, and if we can't have him today, we'll get him maybe tomorrow. Anyway, so a little bit of programming changing going on here, so we're going to redirect ourselves to some of the other things that are happening out there. And, of course, there are a lot of things that are happening for us here at Agenda 21 Radio. So go to our website, a21r.com. We've got a lot of things happening there. And also go to newcaliforniastate.com. And, of course, the last hour we talked quite a bit about what's going on with the new state and what's happening, I think, with some of your state leadership, state leaders around this, the Democratic stranglehold, I guess you can say. They're trying to expand themselves. It's kind of an interesting situation because, it's not a situation that's a good one for the Democrats. They're really off balance. They're absolutely off balance, and it shows. It really does. Now, I had an opportunity. I did not hear it all, but I wanted to hear what Tammy Bruce. I am a Tammy Bruce fan, I have to tell you. I've always been a Tammy Bruce fan. And for years, I was wondering, why didn't she make it to the big time, that type of thing. But she was blasting Governor Mr. Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, See, I want to say Chris or Andrew or Mario. I know. I think he's passed away. But Andrew, who's the governor, he's well, he's got some issues. He really does have issues. And I think that that's probably something that Tammy Bruce is going to jump on here in a second. So we're going to get this Tammy Bruce thing going on here. And you can see it for yourself, the article. It's interesting in that she's responding to his heartlessness. Yeah, and you're going to find out about this when he's talking about protesters and how they're all upset.
The economic hardship. Everybody gets it. Everybody feels it. If you want to go to work, go take a job as an essential worker. Do it tomorrow. No, there are people hiring. You can get a job as an essential worker. So now you can go to work and you're not going to kill anyone.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo issuing a scathing message to protesters outside of the state capitol who were demanding that he reopen the state's economy. Here to react is Fox News contributor Tammy Bruce. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning. Hi there.
Good morning. Hi. You tweeted out about this. You said, wow, every now and then the facade slips. Hashtag heartless. Why did you feel it was important to tweet that?
Well, he's been getting a lot of good reviews, if you will, for what he's been saying on a day-to-day basis, as though he's the second coming in some sense, that he's a fabulous person. And I think what's really good on a day-to-day basis is every now and then you really get to see who people are and the curtain is pulled back. The level of contempt in that statement was extraordinary. It was a treatment. And when you say protesters, these were regular citizens. Reporters spoke to them who have run out of money. They've lost their businesses. They don't know what's coming the next day. And he's treating them and speaking to them as if they're infants. We all know what's at stake here. We all know this is a life and death issue. And when he says we all feel the economic impact, Andrew Cuomo is a multimillionaire. No matter what happens in this environment, he's going to be financially fine. We also know the suicide rate is now an issue. He says, talking to some of the reporters, saying there's nothing worse than death. Well, you know, for a lot of people, it is their life's work in their business. It is all of their savings on top of the panic of, you know, this is an existential issue and for my own family and for people around us. So here it's a reminder that you've got a government, and this is the worry, that really is so disconnected from people. And we love the essential workers and the workers in the grocery stores, et cetera. That's important. But these are individuals. We're each living our individual lives with individual accomplishments and have everything at stake. It was insulting and contemptible. The only thing, Ainsley, that he didn't do was open up a refrigerator and a freezer and start eating ice cream during that statement. That's the only thing he didn't do.
Ooh. In reference, of course, to Nancy Pelosi and her ice cream stores. Well, you know, and again, he was very inappropriate, to say the least. Absolutely very inappropriate. And heartless. She's exactly right. But you see, this is the disconnect that these elites have for, you know, the common people. You know, I'm able to sustain myself because, you know, I've got a radio show. I can do these things. But most people don't have that opportunity. I understand that. It doesn't make me an elite. There's no question about that. It's a lot hard. Radio is very hard business. It absolutely is. But, you know, I have something. These people have nothing. What would happen if you had and of course this could, no, I don't want this, but you know, they are censoring just about everything you're doing now, right? In all sorts of media. And we depend upon the internet. We depend upon satellites. We depend upon the sophisticated stuff that brings our message to you. What happens if they shut us down? Which they want to do, of course. Do you think they like me? Huh? You guys like Andrew Cuomo, like me? Boy, they'd love to shut it down. But Tammy's exactly right. The heartlessness, which with he was displaying to John Q. Public, is exactly what Newsom does. It's the arrogance of it all. Newsom, who's a multimillionaire, teetering on billionaire, actually, he's really up there. None of this affects him or his family. None of it. Not a bit of it. None of it affects his family. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's a problem with how they perceive you, John Q. Public, that you are less than them. That you don't care for them. And when I say care for them, we know you don't like them, but they have no semblance of empathy for you at all. It's easy to disconnect in their world of realities that you don't have a similar world of reality of the wealth that they have. These are the totalitarians at work right in front of your faces. We'll tell you when this is not difficult to see. Your senses are correct. This is what the totalitarians do in other countries. When they have the power, when they have the authority, when they have stolen all your wealth, which is exactly what's going on out here in California and in other states as well. They steal it by taxes, but you know, sometimes they extort it. Extortion rackets are developed all in these states by government. They do it through overtaxation, overregulation, and then aggressive lawsuits, aggressive enforcement. They'll get your money, and you'll be broke because they don't care. They just care about what's best for them. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Real pushback coming from people. Here we go, Tucker.
Well, when Washington bailed out the finance world more than a decade ago after the most recent financial collapse, the government set limits on CEO compensation, and they did it for a reason. Taxpayer bailout should used to be saving jobs, not making corporate executives richer than they already are. So it's striking by contrast to see that the Department of Education, which began dishing out $14 billion in bailout funds for American universities this month, is not setting similar limits on how much university presidents get to pay themselves. And they pay themselves more than you might think, a lot. Columbia University, for example, is getting $12.8 million in bailout money despite having an $11 billion endowment. The president of that school, a person called Lee Bollinger, makes more than $2 million a year. In other words, Lee Bollinger is set to collect about one-sixth of the entire federal bailout. Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, a school you probably haven't heard of, and probably for good reason, is getting $4.8 million in bailout money. And amazingly, that's less than university president Shirley Ann Jackson pays herself every year. So perhaps Secretary DeVos can deposit that money directly into her personal checking account. Might as well. The University of Michigan, which is a public school with more than $12 billion in the bank, still got a $25 million bailout. They plan to spend $8 million on their football coach this year. They're still going to lose to Ohio State, which got $45 million in bailout money. That school pays its coaching staff $11 million. Meanwhile, the University of Pennsylvania, a school for kids on the Harvard wait list, received $9.9 million. The president of UPenn, Amy Gutman, makes nearly $3 million. That's about a third of the entire bailout. If paying Amy Gutman is such a priority, maybe the school could find that money in their $14.7 billion endowment. We could go on and on and on. We could cite a dozen examples. In fact, 100 examples. Young people in this country are the poorest group in this country, but the schools that pretend to educate them are the richest institutions we have. They're getting a bailout that young people could only dream of. Why? Because universities are one of the most powerful political interest groups in the nation. And young people are not, and you're not. And that's why the government is blowing billions, giving them cash they don't need at the same time that you're wondering how to pay your mortgage. Now, Harvard has announced it won't be taking bailout funds. Why? Because they spent a week being shamed in public over it because they have a $40 billion endowment. But it shouldn't take shame for Harvard to do the right thing. They should be decent enough to do it. That's a pipe dream. They're not even close to decent. But in the absence of their decency, we need better laws. Not a single cent ever should be spent making rich universities even richer. They do enough harm to this country.
The House, meanwhile, set to vote on a brand new coronavirus relief bill today. The $484 billion package will help small businesses and hospitals and provide more funds for testing as well. Delaware Senator Chris Coons is with us now. He serves on the Judiciary and Foreign Relations Committees. Senator, good morning. We hope your family's doing well, and we appreciate you joining us.
Good morning. Great to be on with you. Yes, everybody's safe and healthy at home. I am relieved that we got this $484 billion package out of the Senate unanimously, and I'm optimistic the House will pass it today.
So the news this morning as well, though, even as the House is moving forward on that package, is talk about yet another package because we've got 4.4 million more unemployment claims coming in this morning. That's a grand total, as you know, of about 26 million Americans now unemployed in the span of just a few weeks. What does a fourth package in the days ahead look like to you?
Well, Ed, something that we fought for and was not in this package was assistance to local governments and states. What that really means is keeping employed folks who are police officers, paramedics, first responders, teachers, public health officials, the folks who are keeping us safe and keeping things running, whether they're garbage collectors or they're folks administering unemployment checks. We do need to provide support to state and local governments in the next round. I also frankly think we're going to need to provide more support for businesses so they can reopen, for contact tracing and testing. One of the things I've been talking with Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate about is our existing national service program, AmeriCorps, which has 75,000 young people in every state who were midway through their service year. We need to have somewhere between 100 and 300,000 people in every state doing contact tracing so we can safely reopen. We need to figure out how we get those folks up and running in every state in the country.
Well, that might be an interesting initiative to get people to come together at this critical time. On the other hand, when you talk about helping state and local governments, Republicans see that, as you know, as a bailout, and they say they're not on board with it. Mitch McConnell yesterday had very strong comments on that. To be fair, we also want to add what a Democratic governor said about it. We'll let you react. Listen.
Here we go. Here we go.
I would certainly be in favor of allowing states to use the bankruptcy route. It saves some cities. My guess is their first choice would be for the federal government to borrow money from future generations to send it down to them now so they don't have to do that. That's not something I'm going to be in favor of.
Okay, this is the interview I was talking about in the last hour and in the beginning of this one, and it ties right in with the continuation where we're marching to in the third hour, so you understand there are states that are lined up for bankruptcy, but you can't declare bankruptcy if you're a state. They have to change the federal laws for that to happen if it's going to happen. Strong probability it's going to happen based upon what we've got going on. Okay, but that was the beginning of it. You'll hear most of what was said there in the next hour. But now I want you to listen carefully. What's the result of this comment that he made?
Come on, man. That is completely and utterly irresponsible. We will gut the living daylights in every state in America out of the services, the exact services that our citizens need right now.
You can hear Governor Murphy in New Jersey. He's a Democrat who wants this money, this kind of a bailout.
Because he's got no money to begin with. He's mismanaged grossly the money, just like California.
From the federal government. But answer that point from the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, who's basically saying, why should the federal taxpayer, our viewers watching right now have already been doling out trillions of dollars to help things get going, to bail out states like New Jersey who have not handled their state budgets well in recent years?
Well, we just spent $500 billion on bailing out the airlines, on bailing out a wide range of businesses, large and small, from hotels to restaurants, who had no fault in this pandemic. And I frankly think for us to continue to provide services, whether it's garbage collection or it's pandemic health services and support, whether it's keeping the unemployment offices open, or it's providing police and firefighters, continuing to provide those key government services is also going to take some federal support.
But, Senator?
We put restrictions on the money that went to some of the largest companies. I understand are putting some restrictions on money that would go to state and local governments.
Yeah.
But frankly, if we don't, because of the balanced budget requirements of virtually every government, and I used to run a county government, we'll see massive layoffs in the public sector.
But, Senator, the Wall Street Journal points out today the CARES Act, which you passed before, had $150 billion already for states, $90 billion for schools, transit, Medicaid, which obviously helps the states. I went back and looked. This is what you said back in 2013 in the Budget Committee, talking about a measure you had passed to try to cut spending and get the budget in balance. You said, we need to reduce our country's dangerous deficits and stabilize our paralyzing national debt. That was 7 years ago, Senator.
Frankly, we are barreling towards a record amount of both deficits and debt. We are also in the greatest public health and economic crisis of our lifetimes. We spent a record amount as a government in order to get through the Second World War.
Yep, and we're going to do it again. to get through this. Stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're switching programming here a little bit, so in perfect timing, I guess. But joining us is going to be Richard Sack of Lost Arts Radio in the next hour. So we did a little switcheroony going on here. But anyway, we got plenty of programming in this half hour. So we're going to go ahead and go with the Mitch McConnell comment that came out yesterday, which was sort of one of the shots. There's getting a lot of shots being heard around the world here, if you haven't noticed, right? So in this story, Mitch McConnell floats creating bankruptcy process for U.S. states. Okay, and let me tell you who they are. New Jersey, New York, Illinois, and California specifically, with a little help to, you know, Washington and Oregon. All Democratic states. Says Wednesday during Hugh Hewitt's nationally syndicated radio show, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he favors allowing states struggling to meet their financial obligations due to the Chinese coronavirus pandemic to declare bankruptcy instead of providing a federal bailout. Yeah, Hugh Hewitt. I know when you put the CARES Act together, you used the task force. Now, I'm going to let you hear this for yourself. This is what we're going through here.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined by the Master of the Senate, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Welcome back, Leader. It's great to have you. Congratulations on another win, provided that the House actually passes it tomorrow.
Well, thank you. I think the House will. Apparently, they have to call back a bunch of people to do it. But look, that's what we ought to be doing. And in fact, next time we act on one of these bills, I've said the full Senate needs to be here and we need to be back in session.
Now, Speaker Pelosi took to the podium yesterday and said an astonishing thing, which I want to play to you to get your reaction. Cut number 19, Speaker Pelosi yesterday.
We have to insist on the truth. And that is why we're going to open up our great economy. Everybody's restless. Cabin fever has set in many ways.
Now, Mr. Leader, I want to insist on the truth. You proposed this 2 weeks ago, the Paycheck Protection Plan replenishment. She has blocked it for 2 weeks. Is that not the truth?
Yeah, that's a fact, an indisputable fact. And a 12-day delay when we ran out of money for this popular small business program, the demand was enormous. They wanted to extract other things. Fortunately, what they wanted to extract the most, I refused to go along with, and the White House backed me up, and that was, we're not yet ready to just send a blank check down to states and local governments to spend any way they choose to. We had a tranche for them in the first bill, the $2.2 trillion bill. It has to be coronavirus-related, and I think we need to have a full debate, not only about if we do state and local, how will they spend it? But also, we haven't had much discussion about adding $2.7 trillion to the national debt and the way that could indeed also threaten the future of the country. Look, the only solution to this ultimately is to begin to open up. I was encouraged the White House task force set up phase one. Many governors are now looking at beginning to carefully reopen. And I think that's the only way we can ultimately solve this problem is to begin the process of getting back to normal.
Now, Leader, I haven't been on the radio as long as you've been in the Senate, but it's close. And since I've been on the radio, I've been warning people that pension funds for public employees are dangerously underfunded. And I know that the Speaker and your colleague Chuck Schumer want to pour money into these funds.
Okay, listen very carefully what he's talking about here. About pension funds, because this is pandemic around the world. Well, but around the United States, this is a liberal pandemic for pensions, I guess you would say. Listen carefully.
But they need to be reformed. I mean, some of the benefits they grant are ridiculous. I don't think any public employee, even a great teacher of 30 years, should make more than a colonel in the Army or the Marine Corps who served 25 years or a captain in the Navy. I just think they're out of control. Will you insist on reforms of state pension plans if they get replenished by the next bill?
Well, we'll certainly insist that anything we borrow to send down to the states is not spent on solving problems that they created for themselves over the years with their pension programs.
Let me ask as well about problems of liability, Mr. Leader. I've talked to businesses all morning long and all week long, and they're afraid that when they reopen, the plaintiff's bar is going to descend on them and blame them for COVID. Now, I'm an old lawyer and you're an old lawyer. We know that foreseeability is part of tort law, and there is no foreseeability here. But do you think there ought to be federal preemption on this issue so that all cases are in one location, maybe D.C. or the Second Circuit, and they're governed by one standard?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Now, the difficulty of achieving that with the Democratic House, you can understand. They are a wholly owned subsidiary of the plaintiff's bar and rarely do anything that discourages litigation. Generally speaking, they're trying to create more litigation. So I don't want to get your hopes up that this very necessary step could actually be achieved with a Nancy Pelosi-led House.
I think you might be able to trade off if you allow them to sue the enterprises of China and the WHO and the CCP of the PRC. You might be able to switch out liability for the people who actually caused this and keep American businesses safe of the swarm, because you and I both know what's going to happen as soon as businesses reopen. The plaintiff's lawyer is going to serve papers the next day.
Yep, I'm afraid that's what we're anticipating. And if I thought there was a way to stop that practically with a Pelosi House, believe me, I'd be clamoring for it.
Well, maybe her constituents will. There are enough small businesses led by liberals. They might agree on this one. Mr. Leader, it wouldn't be a conversation if we didn't talk about judges. I know you folks are overwhelmed. You've done an amazing job. But our friend, Senator Graham, we got to get him holding some hearings for Rick Richmond and nominees like John Flynn who aren't even up there and votes for Mark Scarcy. California's out of judges. When are we going to get back to hearings and votes?
Well, the current plan is to go back in session on May the 4th. I haven't seen anything that would discourage me from doing that. And as soon as we get back in session, we'll start confirming judges again. We need to have hearings, and we need to confirm judges. You and I have discussed this before. My motto for the year is leave no vacancy behind. That hasn't changed. The pandemic will not prevent us from achieving that goal.
That is music to my ears. Now, let me talk to you about FISA reauthorization. Attorney General Barr was on the show yesterday. Most of the attention was paid to his comments about states, and they're running the risk of violating civil liberties. We can come back to that. But he also warned that the Communist China Chinese Party has upped their espionage against the United States. I don't know what's happened to FISA. I just know that we need tools that are appropriately employed. Where is that debate right now, Mr. Leader?
Well, the Attorney General is taking a look at it and is going to be making recommendations. And if reforms need to be made, we'll do it. What the Democrats, however, want to do is to basically dismantle it entirely. I think it has been an important tool to help keep us safe. We can reform it, but I don't want to eliminate it.
Now, are you concerned that the Chinese Communist Party is going to act aggressively as the world comes to understand that they are behind this virus's spread?
Yeah, it's a big problem. For those who had doubts about the way China operates, I think those doubts have been overcome by the experience, the lack of transparency, the lack of telling the truth that exacerbated this pandemic. And that's what happens when you run a society that discourages openness and free discussion. And it's a very different approach to life and to governing than we have in the West.
The president tweeted out a few moments ago that I have instructed the United States Navy to shoot down and destroy any and all Iranian gunboats if they harass our ships at sea. There's obviously a predicate there, Mr. Leader. Have you heard about what it is?
No, I haven't. But, you know, the Iranians act out periodically, and I think the president's had a very restrained approach. But if you start, shall I say, getting in our space, or in the case of Soleimani, if you're responsible for killing Americans, then you could expect a significant response, a measured but significant response.
Now, Leader, I want to go back to legislating in the environment in which we are in. I know when you put the CARES Act together, you use task force, you use some of your best people.
Okay, now he's talking about the CARES Act, and you're getting the whole context of what Hugh Hewitt has him into. So he's talking about Trump, he's talking about, you know, all the different things that are leading up to the whole CARES thing. Now, these are the important words to be paying attention to here in this part of the transcript.
Like Marco Rubio, I have great respect for Lamar Alexander. A lot of the state governments are going to be smashed up by this, but there is no Chapter 8 in the bankruptcy code. Who are you going to, for states? No states can go bankrupt. Local governments can go bankrupt and reorganize. Who are you going to task to lead the effort on deciding what to do or not to do for the states?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a broad discussion throughout the conference. I mean, we all represent states. We all have governors, regardless of party, who would love to have free money. And that's why I said yesterday we're going to push the pause button here, because I think this whole business of additional assistance for state and local governments needs to be thoroughly evaluated. You raised yourself the important issue of what states have done, many of them have done to themselves with their pension programs. There's not going to be any desire on the Republican side to bail out state pensions. borrowing money from future generations. So this is a much bigger conversation than we've had providing assistance for small business because the government shut them out, put them down, put them out of business, or assistance to hospitals, which are overwhelmed by the COVID-19 disease. This is a very different decision. These are all taxing authorities, just like we are, and I think that's why we need to have a fulsome conference-wide discussion among Senate Republicans before we go down this path.
Well, I agree. I think people do not understand how badly mismanaged some states have been and their unfunded liabilities. And if they were in the private sector, they would have to reorganize under the bankruptcy code. But there is no bankruptcy code chapter. Do you think that we need to invent one for states so that they can discharge some of these liabilities that were put in place by previous governors?
Here we go. Like, listen.
I mean, Jerry Brown ran a giveaway program for public employee unions that was just astonishing, and as did Gray Davis. It's just a lot of Democratic governors. Illinois is probably the worst in Connecticut. They've just given money away for years to people who aren't working.
Yeah, I would certainly be in favor of allowing states to use the bankruptcy route. It saved some cities, and there's no good reason for it not to be available. My guess is their first choice would be for the federal government to borrow money from future generations to send it down to them now so they don't have to do that. That's not something I'm going to be in favor of.
So what is going to happen to the states? And he said taxing authorities. And Hugh Hewitt was right to say that states cannot declare bankruptcy. They can't do that. So you're going to have to change federal law to allow that to happen. Your cities and your counties have been declaring bankruptcy at will pretty much in California because they're broke as a joke. That's, of course, tied to the fact that the state now raids the coffers of many of these other taxing authorities, such as cities and counties and other entities within there, like water districts and school districts and so on. The fleecing that just occurs on a regular basis by the state because the state needs the money. Now, the state, if it needs to, can actually take your money from retirement, and we've talked about that. That's a scenario that has actually been put forward about New California. Why New California, a constitutional effort, we're following constitutional law to create a new state, will actually be a problem for them. See, we are actually following the law. Now, what's going to happen is that our opportunity, of course, is going to be at this point where there's a financial problem. Now, this is not an Insurrection Act opportunity. Even though what we're into, the circumstances where we're at right now, is very much like an Insurrection Act. It's something else, though. And this is what people don't seem to understand, is that when you have our situation, which we currently have with the coronavirus and all this other stuff that's going on, now we have the economy, now we got everything else going on. And, of course, you have to take a look at the whole United States as if you're the president. If you're the president, you have to protect the union. You have to protect all the states. And if one state or two states or three states form an alliance because they've all been doing the same bad things to themselves for destruction, basically, economically and otherwise, socially, of course. But, he has to sit there and look at this and go, wait a minute, under certain conditions, what can I do? Can I say that these states are all a state of insurrection? No, there's something better. There's something better. It's called the Emergency Powers Act. What the world is that? The International Emergency Economic Powers Act. While sanctions and programs implemented by the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control may be authorized by congressional legislations, most are authorized under executive orders issued pursuant to presidential national emergency powers in response to a declared emergency. Uh-oh. And it's called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, which is exactly what the president has signed into law, in which all 50 states agreed that there is an emergency, and they've declared their states in a state of emergency. All 50 states. Now, let me tell you what all this means. The emergency powers granted to the president under Section 1702 of the IEEPA statute includes the following. Investigate, regulate, or prohibit any transaction in foreign exchange, transfers of credit or payment by, between, through, or to any banking institutions to the extent that such transfers or payments involve any interest of any foreign country or foreign national. The importing or exporting of currencies or securities. The president may also investigate, block during the president the pendency of any investigation, regulate, direct, and compel, nullify, void, prevent, or prohibit any acquisition, holding, withholding, use, withholding, use, transfer, withdrawal, transportation, importation, or exportation of, or dealing in, or exercising any right, power, or privilege with respect to, or transactions involving any property in which a foreign country or a national thereof has any interest by any person or with respect to any property subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And when the United States is engaged in armed hostilities or has been attacked by a foreign country or foreign nationals, the president may confiscate any property subject to the jurisdiction of the United States or any foreign person. Hello? Confiscate? Foreign organizations or a foreign country that the president determines has planned, authorized, or aided or engaged in such hostilities or attacks against the United States. These are broad powers, guys. When the president said to everybody, And the press was going nutty. Well, you've got the 10th Amendment. You can't step over that bounds. The state have constitutional rights. Not under these conditions. And now that the states have also agreed and signed their own emergency powers, they're all part of it. And he can do as he sees fit. This is better than insurrection. This is better than the 1807 Insurrection Act. This cleans everybody's clock. So those states... And he's told them this. You have to be ready to govern yourself as a state. And if you cannot govern yourself as a state, guess what? Surprise, surprise, California. There's called New California will come in and help. Or I can appoint a governor in lieu of the current governor to manage the affairs of the state. Gee, I wonder who that might be in California. Huh. I wonder who that might be. Maybe a former Arkansas governor. I want to read this again. And when the United States is engaged in armed hostilities or has been attacked by a foreign country or foreign nationals, the president may confiscate any property subject to the jurisdiction of the United States or any foreign person, foreign organization, or foreign country that the president determines has planned, authorized, aided, or engaged in such hostilities or attacks against the United States. Now, I think it's pretty obvious, and people are making the case right now in the narrative, that guess what? We have been attacked by China, and we are at war. We are at war. Goes down here to exercising emergency powers. It's all, by the way, we have the whole complete document or the writing about it. And you can read the document. It's got the links and everything for this document, what we're under right now. When a president exercises emergency powers pursuant to the Declaration of a National Emergency, OFAC normally develops and drafts sanctions regulations to implement the executive order. These regulations are then codified in the Code of Federal Regulations and block persons, targeted for organizations and regimes, and specifically designated nationals, are identified, designated nationals and block persons, when announcing new additions to this list, they're normally issue a press release, blah, blah, blah. As a result of these emergency powers, American individuals, businesses, and organizations are broadly prohibited from engaging in economic transactions that involve the property and interest in property of blocked individuals and regimes. Furthermore, blocking sanctions impose further obligations upon U.S. persons to both freeze i.e. block, the property of a block person into report. Now, this, I'm reading you this because you should be understanding something. We have a lot of property that has been bought by China. And what this is saying is here, you may have bought it, China, but we own it. It's in our country. And you just lost it by the fact that you, of course, declared war on us. You attacked us with a virus. So if you're worried about China having property, being able to take over a country by buying it, so we've seized it. It's been seized already. It's been seized. And what is this thing called again? So you understand, we're going to have it right up, and we're actually and put this up on the resolution that we have already about the use of the Insurrection Act. It's called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. It's a big part of the Office of Foreign Assets Control from the Treasury Department. That's been implemented. The president signed this into law. That's what we're doing right now. This is what's happening here. He can do what he needs to do. And those states that aren't complying with this, they've agreed to this. But the simple fact that they declared emergencies, guess what? He's got the control of their state. It's perfectly legal. So if I was them right now, I would shut up, especially Murphy. Because, you know, there's a lot to see in New Jersey under Murphy as governor. And it says here very specifically, one of the first things, the emergency powers granted by the president under Section 1702 of the IEEPA statute include the following. This is one of the first titles that comes up. Investigate. That's the first word. So, Mr. Murphy, if you're real smart, you might not be whining and going after the president in the national media, because there is a lot to investigate in your state. And, of course, let's talk about Newsom. You know what's happened with Newsom. Investigate, regulate, or prohibit any transactions in foreign exchange. Any. How about those masks worth $1 billion that he ordered from a Chinese company owned by an American individual named Warren Buffett? Oops. You know, when he did that, I said, you know, he broke the law. And he's broken the law. Remember, a certain former governor visited Gavin Newsom recently. And he says, we're going to tell you how it's going to be, brother. We're going to arrest you. We're going to charge you. And you're going to go to prison. I think there was some additional conversation after that. And I'm pretty sure that that governor decided, well, maybe I better cooperate. And I'm sure he has been. Anyway, just a little bit of stuff going on here. I just want to put that out there for you so you understand what the president is operating under. It's relatively similar in terms of stature, in terms of the law, is the Insurrection Act, but it's more broad. It certainly takes into account for terrorism. And these people who have want to sell the country out to China, they don't realize that the rope salesman cometh. And they are, of course, buying up all the Trump rope that they can possibly get. We call them Trump ropers. Actually, up here in the hinterlands of the rural areas, they're sometimes referred to as goat ropers. But I kind of like Trump ropers better, don't you? Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. And stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.